thought, to know that we can come before God and He will cleanse us when we are obedient to His will. What a great day it is. What a wonderful blessing we have to be here. We're thankful that you're here. We're grateful for the visitors among us. We want you to feel welcome. We want you to know it's an encouragement to us. You made that decision to be here. I pray that we are an encouragement to you. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. This morning's lesson, I want us to think about here as we get started. You know, the fact of the matter is, many times what we present on the outside is not what's happening on the inside. Right? Someone can present their life as being a faithful child of God, but what's going on the inside is completely the opposite. Right? In reality, they're rotting from the inside out. So I'm going to think about that this morning, and this is we're kind of revisiting a topic that I talked about. I bet it's been 2 years now, over 2 years maybe. And we're going to talk about the inner chamber of the heart, the hidden person of the heart. And let's make sure what's going on the outside represents what's going on the inside. Right? That we are a people that are living with spiritual integrity. Right? That we're the same no matter where we are. We're the same as we present ourselves right now. The gathering at the church as we will be tomorrow at work or when nobody's watching. And so that's what I want us to think about this morning as we get started here. And consider that inner self that we're talking about, a movable faith right now, right? And so this is part of that. And so let's be reminded here what this inner person of the heart is. As we get started, Peter, he talks about it. In 1 Peter, the third chapter, Peter talks about this inner room of the heart. And I know in the context here, he's talking about a woman who's a believer, and because of her behavior, she can affect her unbelieving husband. I get that. I know that. But I want you to look at verse 4 here, if you have your Bible open. 1 Peter chapter 3, he says, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, right? He said, don't let everything be about what you're wearing, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart. Maybe your translation says the inner chamber of the heart. So that's what we're talking about here this morning, that place that we all have, right? And I'm sure we all have somewhere in our homes where we're responsible for that. Right? Or if you live by yourself, the whole house is your responsibility. Right? Well, for me, over at the house, right? I've taken over one of the guest rooms, and in there, and I know it drives Christy crazy sometimes, but I got all my stuff. Right? All of my junk. Right? It's Sean's room. Right? And that's his. Nobody messes with it. You know, nobody touches it. Nobody really goes in there. They don't have a reason to. Right? If someone goes in there, I go, hey, what are you doing in my room? Right? And so we all have this area that we're responsible for. So I want us to try to visualize that, this inner chamber of the heart that we all have. Right? You're responsible for that room. What goes in that room? What happens in that room? In Luke, the 12th chapter, there in verse 17, this is the parable of the rich fool. We're not going to read it for the sake of time. You know, this is the one where he's saying, look at all that I have. Look at all my possessions. And God goes on to say, fool, don't you know this night your soul will be required of you? Right, that parable, if you're aware of it. Well, as he begins this, he has this thought here that Jesus said in this parable, saying he thought these things within himself. That's the room that we're talking about. Right, this is that room where our inner thoughts originate. Right, this is a good room that God has given us. Right, this is where creativity comes from. You know, this is where we worship God from, and we'll mention that as we end the lesson here in a little bit. Right, that this is a good room that God has given us. Right, a lot of good comes from this inner chamber of the heart, but also very bad things come from within this room if we're not careful. And so I want you to think about this inner chamber of the heart. It was part of our scripture reading earlier, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. This is talking about that room. Right? Therefore, we not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, our inward man, that's the room, the inner chamber of the heart. Our inward man is being renewed day by day. That's that room that the Bible talks about again and again and again throughout Scripture. God has wanted us to look into this inner chamber of the heart. What's going on in there? Right? And so there needs to be this constant self-examination. What do I have going on in the inner hidden person of the heart, the inner chamber of the heart? What's going on in there? You know, be honest in that examination. Right? And so this is something for each of us to consider this morning. You know, what's going on in that room, that inner chamber of the heart? And I have five vital things about this room I want us to be aware of and consider this morning. Number one, I've got the key. I've got the key to this room. You don't have the key to my inner chamber of the heart. I don't have the key to yours. But I control, and that's a good thing, right? I control what goes in. I control what comes out. And so what I want you to think about here for a moment in all of this is in Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews chapter 4, read this with me. Right? It's deep inside there. As a matter of fact, it's so deep within this inner chamber of the heart, God here wants to impress upon us the power of His Word. His Word is so powerful it can reach way down in there, right? A place where others cannot reach. Right? For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You want to be impressed? Here it is. Piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, right? All the way into that room. The inner person of the heart, of joint and marrow, that's how deep, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the room. Right? He says, you know what? The Word of God, if you'll let it, it'll reach way down in there. I got the key, so, you know, am I going to let it in or not? Something else I want you to think about in this inner chamber of the heart, a wonderful thought, I believe. You know, you can let dead people in there. I want you to do a mental exercise with me real quick and turn over to Hebrews 12, verse 1. He says, therefore we have such a great cloud of witnesses. What is he talking about? Well, it's an attachment to chapter 11, the great chapter of faith. Right, by faith Abraham, by faith Noah, by faith Rahab, right? All of these individuals. Now here's this mental exercise. I want you to maybe think about this inner chamber of your heart right now. However you want to imagine that. I'm thinking of just, you know, a room and there's portraits hanging on the wall of the room of my heart. What portraits are hanging on the wall in the inner chamber of your heart? Well, the writer here is saying, you know, I hope it's dead people. Hopefully it's faithful members of the Lord's church, faithful followers of God. Right? You've got their portraits there, you know, from chapter 11. You know, hopefully Abraham's portrait's there. What a great example of trust and obedience. Right? Or Noah, what a great example of getting busy doing what God wants you to do. Right? And so hopefully those portraits are lying in the inner chamber of your heart. You've got the key. Or are you letting those great examples in? And I'm telling you this, that there's never been a rock that God could not go through, right? I need to remember that. He goes wherever He wants. So number one, I control the access. Number two, this morning, it can be dangerous in there. This room inside of you, jump back to Genesis 6, right? And simply, like I said earlier, right, there's not a nice, soft way to really say this. The fact of the matter is, people rot from the inside out, right? There's just not a delicate way to say that. But I got to be working on keeping this room clean, because if I let it become filthy and diseased, right, and overflowing with trash, right? If I let it become corrupted, then my whole body's going to become defiled. Is that not what God is saying here in Genesis 6, verse 5, right before the cleansing flood on the earth? The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent and thoughts of his heart was only on evil continually. God looked into the rooms, into the inner chamber, the heart of these individuals, and he saw that it was filled with filth and corruption, and it wasn't going to be reversed. In Mark, the 7th chapter, Mark chapter 7, Jesus taught about this room. Beginning in verse 20, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. But think about, where does that originate? What he's going to tell you here. For from within, that's the inner chamber of the heart he's talking about again. For from within, out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murder, etc. Drop down to verse 23. All of these evil things come from within and defile a man. You see, this inner room can be very dangerous because you know, people rot from the inside out, and what makes it very dangerous is it seems like there's no accountability, right? It's got this deceptive thing that we rationalize that, well, since nobody knows what's going on in here, I must have got away with it. Right? It's dangerous. You know, it seems like a room without typical accountability. But you see, God has created support mechanisms for us to hold us accountable, to keep this inner chamber of the heart clean. Right? Hopefully a faithful spouse or family. Hopefully good and godly friends. Right? He gave us the church. Right? A congregation of God's people that care about you. And they love you so much that they want to hold you accountable for what's going on in there. And God gave us an eldership. Jump over to Hebrews 13 real quick. Now, we're going to talk about this evening, and I hope you're here for this lesson. We're going to talk a little bit more about Hebrews 13. But think about this. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Remember those who rule over you. He's talking about the elders. Verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive because they watch out for your souls. Now that's what we're going to talk about this evening. You know, and also, of course, our actions need to be held accountable from the Word of God. James 1 and verse 14 and verse 23 also talk about the mirror of God's Word, right? So God has given us tools to hold us accountable to keep that room clean. Right? He doesn't, like we talked about last Sunday, you know, some folks think that Jesus saves us to them just scatter us. No. You know, that's why he wants us to be part of the body, right, overseen by godly elders to help us remain accountable. Because it's very dangerous in this room if we don't have any accountability going on. Our enemy, the devil, he would like for us to believe that this is a place where there's no consequence for our sin, for the actions, for what's going on in there, if it's filthy and corrupt. He wants you to think you got away with it. And he's very good at that, right? And listen, that's a lie. Right? We tend to buy into that pretty easily, don't we? We like it when we think we're not going to be held accountable. Nobody knows about it. Nobody knows what's going on inside of my inner chamber of the heart. I want you to go to Proverbs 9, if you would. Go to Proverbs 9 here, and I want you to, there's an example here. The writer's going to use a prostitute to show how sin works and individuals' response to it if enticed. In verse 13, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing, for she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call those who pass by, who go straight on the way, whoever is simple. Let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he does not know that the dead are in there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. You see, the problem with the hidden person of the heart It has that deceptive, dangerous quality, right? Of making me believe that there are no consequences, right? And that's the danger that happens in that room of the heart sometimes, right? We think, well, nobody knows. I didn't experience any consequence immediately, so I guess I got away with it. Right? And Satan wants us to think this. But there are consequences. You know, when I don't cleanse out that room with the blood of Jesus, you know, what's going to happen is that what's defiling me on the inside, eventually that's going to define me. After all, you know, this is the inner chamber of my thought processes. You know, and if I'm not careful, I'm going to be misled to think, right, I can become as corrupt as I want inside there, and nobody's ever going to know. I got the key after all, remember? But what I need to understand, go back to Proverbs 4, what I need to understand, you know, the Bible teaches me that that's just not true. Right, and the reason is, if I let corruption take up residence in there, before long, it will define me. Right? You see, if there is evil that has taken residence in this room of my heart, it will one day surface. Proverbs 4 and verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, I understand that there's going to be certain evil things that are going to come in uninvited, right? AKA temptations. We all have temptations. But it's when I allow those temptations to hang around a little bit too long. So I got to constantly be working on cleaning it all out. Right, we can look at the example of King David with Bathsheba, right? You know the story. How did that all start? Right, you know, Matthew 5:28 tells us whoever looks at a woman to lust for her. Well, that's where it all started. It's all about this secret chamber of the heart. That's where David had his issues here. Right? He didn't clean out that temptation. Right? And then it grew in James 1 and 14 and 15 tells us when temptation is not checked, right? Something is conceived, sin is born, and when it's full grown, it brings forth death, doesn't it? And you see, it's all about what I allow into that inner chamber of the heart. Right? Jesus says, whenever you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her where? In his heart. That's the inner chamber of the heart. You see, what happens in this room will eventually define you. And here's why. Let me read a passage here in Matthew 12. We're gonna move on to our next point here in a minute. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, 34 and 35, brood of vipers, how could you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the overflow, or out of the abundance of the heart, ready, here it is, the mouth speaks. Now, you know a little bit about somebody if you got to spend a lot of time with them, right? You ever do a long road trip with somebody and you liked them before the road trip? Right? But you spend a lot of time with them, and what do? You know, it's even hard for an individual to keep secrets they don't want people to know. You know, they just got to talk. Right? And what comes out of them, you're like, really? That's what Jesus is talking about here. That's what he's pointing to. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Right? Jesus says your thinking process, well, if you're rotten on the inside, that vile blasphemy is going to come out. Right? It's going to define you at some point. You think you got away with it, but that vile blasphemy, that sin that's going on inside, it's coming out. That's just the way it works. It will eventually come out of your mouth. Number four this morning, go to Revelation chapter 3, if you would. This is a room where Jesus wants to take up residence. And here's a direct statement and the truth, again, not a delicate way to say it. It is very possible for a man and woman to gather with the assembly of the saints three times a week and portray a spotless Christian life, and yet that inner hidden chamber of the heart is filthy and corrupt. And so I remind all of us that this room here is where Jesus wants to take up residence. But you got the key, remember? Revelation 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." So I'm asking you here, you know, where does this door lead to here in verse 20? Well, where does this door lead to that Jesus wants to enter? Well, the answer is the room that we're talking about, the inner man, the inner person of the heart, the hidden chamber of the heart. That's where this door leads to that Jesus wants to go through. He's there, he's knocking, will you let him in? You got the key. But it's here in this room that my spiritual growth is truly measured. Right? This is a place I need to pray for a clean heart. Right, Psalm 51 and verse 10, and I appreciate it. Brother Matt asked him if he could lead that song, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me." Matthew 5 and verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart." That's the room we've been talking about. "For they shall see God." And 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Number five here, our last and final point this morning. Final fact about the hidden person of the heart. Listen, one day this room will be examined. We get many passages. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, that day of judgment's coming. It's going to be a great and terrible day. It is coming. You cannot control the fact about it is coming. It's going to happen. Every single one of us here right now will stand before God in judgment. It's going to happen. It's not if it's going to happen, it's when. And wise old Solomon here at the end of Ecclesiastes. But listen, we need to pray, right? We need to pray honestly, examine honestly, because that day is coming here. Right? There's a day coming when everything that we've ever done, those sins we got in the back corner, that dark place in, that inner chamber of the heart, you know, it's back there in the dark, collecting dust we forgot about. It's going to be brought to light. Right? Wise old Solomon, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or bad." All of those sins that we've forgotten about, that we've never reconciled unto God through the blood of Jesus, it's going to be there. What you got back in the corner that was years ago that you haven't taken care of, it's going to be exposed. Nothing's going to be hidden. You didn't get away with anything. Right? So God loves you enough to give you this opportunity right here, right now, to just shine a light in that room, Lord, and just expose it all. What a loving and great God that we have, that he's given us an opportunity. Right? And so as I walk in the light, as he's in the light, Jesus, 1 John 1 and verse 7, I get to continuously cleanse this room with the blood of Jesus. What a great and loving God we have. Listen, there's no shortcut to any of this. It's all about personal accountability. You know, and you know, although we can help each other in this endeavor, in the end, we're all responsible for our own room, an inner chamber of the heart. So, by way of conclusion this morning, a little bit longer of a conclusion, you know, so I want to end here with some practical things, right, that we can do. You know, I know you might be thinking, "Preacher, that I get it, yeah, but what can I do?" So here's some practical things. Number one, listen, James 1, you need to identify temptations, right? You know what tempts you the most. What tempts you doesn't tempt me. What tempts me doesn't tempt you, right? So just be honest. What tempts you the most? Right? And then work really, really hard on removing that temptation. Right? Is it what you're allowing your eyes to see on the internet? If you got to throw away your computer and go back to, I guess we call them dumb phones now, where it's just, you know, you can only make calls on it. Go back to that. Take an extreme step and remove the temptations, whatever it is. Right? I need to repent. Repent literally means to change your mind, right? Change the way you think, and therefore you change the path that you're on. Right? Luke 13:3, Acts 2:38, 2 Peter 3:9. You got to change. God will forgive you. Right? You got to cleanse out that room and pray. We absolutely have to pray. Pray more often. Psalm 19, real quick, jump back here to Psalm 19 with me. Psalm 19 and verse 14 here, it gives me a model of what I need to pray. Right? The prayer of cleansing. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, if we're courageous, we'll pray this here in Psalm 26 and verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. If we're courageous, we'll pray that prayer and mean it. But that's a hard prayer about the inner chamber of the heart. Think about if you pray this and mean it, think about what you're praying here, right? To say to God, who's not inhibited by any locks anyways, right? And we've got to know that. To say to him, I want you to come in, Lord. I want you to come into this room. I want you to see everything that's in there. And I'm willing to just lay it before you, Lord, for you to cleanse it out. And I want you to test me. I want you to prove me. I want you to admonish me. I want you to chasten me. I want to go to heaven. And I'm willing to do this. But I want you, Lord, to have full and open access to the inner chamber of my heart. I've got to want that. I've got to want to pray that and to mean that. Next here, maybe something we don't think about, and this is falling back on what we looked at on this topic here a couple of years ago, something we're going to have to think about, we're going to do it here in just a little bit, the Lord's Supper, right? Communion. What's going on in your mind when you're taking the Lord's Supper? Now, if you went back to places like Exodus 12 in your Bible, right? Now, we know the Lord's Supper has its beginning, it's tied to the Passover. Right, Jesus is a Passover lamb. We're taking the bread. We're remembering his body symbolically. It started with the Passover, Exodus 12. One thing that's very interesting in all of this, right, when we have the bread, it's unleavened, right? That means no yeast or no leaven. Well, that started with the Passover, Exodus 12. And one thing the children of Israel would do is, before they took the Passover, they would literally do everything they could to remove any possible a source of yeast or leaven, right? They would even sweep the room out. Now that might sound a little bit abstract, but when you play that out throughout Scripture, it starts to make sense. You get to the New Testament, almost without exception, leaven, yeast represents sin. If you ever made bread or something with yeast, you understand the expanding nature of yeast, right? Same thing with sin. And so when we come to places like 1 Corinthians 11, right? Can you see it now? It can help you here? Right? It's about this room. It's about the hidden chamber of the heart. As Paul writes, verses 28-29 here, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So as I remember the death of my Lord, as I partake of the bread, what I need to be doing is I need to be sweeping the room of all the leaven, which represents sin, right? I've got to clean the leaven out. What is it, you know, that's inside of the hidden man in me in this room? What's in there? What have I allowed to take up residence that I haven't cleansed out? What temptations am I allowing to linger a little bit too long? Right? I'm thinking about that and I'm sweeping it out of the room. And I don't want to eat and drink in an unworthy manner, not discerning the Lord's body. That's what he's talking about there. And so when you partake of the Lord's Supper in a proper manner, it helps you become a stronger Christian. Number five here, real quick, worship. Right? I need to take worship more seriously. John 4:23-24, but the hour is coming, and the hour is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, right? The realm of the heart here is where such things originate, worship, right? Do you understand what worship is? Worship is praise and adoration, leaving this room we're talking about, going to the Father in a manner that he prescribes. That's singing and prayer and preaching and teaching the Word of God and taking communion and giving, right? That's part of your worship. Right? It's just like David in Psalm 23 when he says, my cup runneth over. Right? That right there is an illustration of this room. He understands that room is, it's overflowing with the blessings of God. And when I gather with my church family, especially Sunday morning, it's overflowing so much. I'm thankful for the salvation I have in Jesus. You can't stop me from singing and praying and everything God prescribes, right? When I understand the blessings that I have in Jesus, my cup runneth over. It's that room. And I'm going to worship my God. And if you're struggling, maybe that's the issue. Finally, here this morning, we're going to tie in the Lord's invitation with this. You know, you need to unlock the door to this inner room of your heart. And you might be thinking, well, I don't want to. Yeah, because I've got some things, hidden things that I've allowed to take up residence. I've tried to get rid of them, and I just can't do it. Right? I failed, and I failed, and I failed. If that's the case, right? If that's the case for you in your heart, I want you to find someone, a brother or sister in Christ that you have confidence in, right? And unlock the door for them, and reveal that to them. I ask for accountability with them, and this is going to shed light in a place that you've allowed to grow dark. Right? God is ultimately going to judge my heart, not me. Right? And he's never had any difficulty entering any room that there is. Proverbs 21:2, every man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. One more passage and lesson is yours. Psalm 139:2. You know my sitting down and my raising up. You understand my thought from afar off. Now that passage here could mean one of two things, and I don't know the answer for sure. Well, maybe this passage here, maybe it means, I don't know, maybe it means that God is going to come all the way down from the depths of heaven and into my heart, right, into this room, and that's a long way off. Maybe that's what this passage means, right, that the Lord knows my thoughts from afar off. Or perhaps it means something even bigger than that. Maybe perhaps it means based on the stimuli that I'm receiving in my life, based upon the thought processes I'm having right now and the direction that I'm going to go, he knows that. Right? In the far away here, maybe it means even many years from now, he knows where that's going to lead. Maybe that's the far off he's talking about. I don't know for sure what this means, but I do know that God is not prohibited by any locks that I try to place in the door of the inner chamber of my heart. Listen, this morning, you have an opportunity. If you've never opened your heart to God to do that this morning, right? If you've never obeyed the gospel, you've never put on Christ in baptism, listen, you got that opportunity right now. What a wonderful day it would be if there's someone here that has not been clothed with Christ in baptism, with a response of faith, that we do that. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be wonderful? And we can praise and honor God for that person's decision. And God and the host of heaven will rejoice even the same, even more so, for someone who has done that and has fallen away and they're willing to be reconciled to God. Right? And this is where that open, honest examination occurs. Maybe that's talking about you. Right? Will you open your heart to God this morning? Can we help you with that? If you have any spiritual need, let us show you the love of God, the love of His people, and lift you up in that and help you in that journey. So if you get a spiritual need, let some know, please, as we stand, as we sing.